Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling, right at the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. We'll bring you tactics, triumphs, and truths from the trenches of sales. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where we're going to be sharing stories from successful salespeople and business people who have made the transition, just like you and I have. And today I'm so excited that I have with us Sean Rhodes, who is the author of Bulletproof Selling, and has a story that, frankly, I want to hear for myself, but I think all of you would like to hear as well, because he's somebody who went from being in the core to actually running a seven-figure business. And I want you guys all to hear the stories of how you can actually translate your military success into business success. Sean, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, John. Good to be here, and really excited to get to talk to some folks who might have an inkling that sales is the career path for them.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Just kind of give me a brief background, you know, talk about your service, where you served at, what you did, and then we'll kind of move into the sales portion.
Oh, for sure. So I was in from 2001 to 2005, which was a real action-packed time to be in the military. Iraq was kicking off, Afghanistan was full swing, and my job for the Marine Corps was a combat correspondent, they called it. So think like Joker and Full Metal Jacket. That was me running around the battlefield with a rifle and a notepad and clearing houses. But then when the rest of the Marines, you know, were eating chow and cleaning their weapons, I had to do that and produce content for the world. So being an 18, 19-year-old kid and seeing your stuff appear in CNN and MSNBC and Time, that was pretty cool. So I got to enjoy that. And I knew always that I had a love for communication, but I didn't know how I was really going to apply that after the military. I knew pretty quickly in the military that 4 years was it for me. And a lot of people listening may be in that spot as well, or maybe you're at the end of your 20 or your 30 and you're like, I really don't need to do this anymore. It's taking a toll on my body and my mind. That's exactly what it did to me. So I was in a rare situation where I had a very clear path for myself after the military, and it was not to go into business. It was not even to find a job. It was to go straight to college. That was a promise I made to my family that if I went in the military, as soon as I got out, I'd be at university. So in Iraq in 2004, I'd stay up till 3 a.m. so I could get to stateside time. And I was calling up the admissions offices of the universities I wanted to attend to make sure they had my paperwork. Why is it such a bad connection? Oh, it's because we're actually taking incoming rounds right now. Don't worry about it. I've got my helmet and my flak on. We're good. So that was my path immediately afterwards. And it took maybe 5 or 6 years after I left the military before I realized that working for somebody else, in a 9-to-5 job wasn't going to be the path for me. And it wasn't until I ended up opening my own business that I realized the value of understanding how to sell was really going to play into my life. So it was bouncing around from university, taking a couple government jobs. A lot of us end up back working for the government because it's a pretty secure career field, steady paycheck on the same days I was getting paid from the military. But I realized that my ambition was always going to be limited if I was working a 9-to-5 for somebody else, whether it was the military or whether it was for a corporate gig, because I had all of this passion and skill set and ambition inside me that the military gave me. But what you can't do with that in a 9-to-5 job is really apply it, because you'll always be limited by the time you're there at work. You could be a stellar performer that might earn you a bonus, but it's in sales that you do not have a cap on your income. And when I began to realize that, it was like, I have to do this now, because the military, the Marine Corps especially, gave me this passion for doing the very best that I could. And when I got that in, you know, the career field, just working 9 to 5, it was like, hey, the best that you can do, you still got to go home at 4 p.m., man. We're going to pay you the same, whether you produced like a high performer or whether you just did the bare minimum. And I always wanted to be that high performer. That was the mentality the military gave me. So that's what ended up bouncing me into business for myself and then into the career of sales and teaching salespeople, which is something I still love to do today.
Yeah. So in 2004, you get out, you're kind of bouncing around colleges. At what point did you start Bulletproof Selling? Was that your first business? Or
No. My first business was in operational improvement, because I could, from the military, easily take a look at a group of people doing something and say, well, it's probably how we could do it faster, better, more efficiently. Right. Because that was part of my job as a war correspondent, was to go into these units that I had spent no time with, but to immediately look at what are the very best doing, because those were the stories that the Marine Corps wanted me to capture. So when I began doing that for businesses, instead of producing a piece of content, it was to bring what the very best are doing in a way to the business owner or to the CEO or the executive team to say, you've got a division that is kicking butt and taking names. Let's make this just the standard for your entire company, for everybody doing this job. And that was the very first business that I found myself in. But I realized the people that were more excited about using what I was bringing to them were the sales teams, because these folks were incentivized. The better they get, the more they get paid. They said, Sean, if you find a group in the southeastern U.S. doing it really well, we want to share that in the Northeast. We want to share that in the Midwest. Find what those people are doing and figure out a way that you can train and teach so that every one of our salespeople across the country can be at that level of performance.
And what year did you start doing that?
That was probably 2018, 2019, right before COVID. Because I thought that, in the middle of a pandemic would be a good idea to launch a sales brand. Turned out it was a little bit more of a struggle than I wanted it to be. But, here we are in 2023, still making it happen.
Yeah. So between, so you said you had that kind of 5 years there once you got out of the Corps. So what did you do from like 2009 to 2018? What did that lifestyle look like before you started that first business?
So that was when I was figuring out that a 9 to 5 was not for me. Okay. I got out of the Corps with the immediate career plan of going and being a high school history teacher, because I had some very impactful ones when I was going through. But the 30 grand a year that they wanted me to make, plus the 80 hours a week they wanted me to work, not just to teach, but have to coach like 3 teams. I love doing this, but 30 grand a year is just not going to meet my lifestyle goals, even if I live very frugally. Right. So that wasn't going to do it. And I said, all right, well, what's a career path that's a little more in line with keeping me in the things that I love doing, which is, traveling, being outdoors, getting to meet people. So I ended up working for the National Park Service for a while as a park ranger, flat hat, chasing smoky, bears around the Blue Ridge Mountains. That was a lot of fun. And then I started dating a girl down here in Florida. I was living in North Carolina at the time, right next to the Smoky Mountain National Park. Started dating somebody down here in Florida, and I got tired of that 10 and a half hour drive. So I said, I got to get closer to Florida. So I found another government job in Tampa on MacDill Air Force Base, working for the Air Force. So coming from the Marine Corps, working for the Air Force, that was an upgrade. I got to stay in 5-star hotels, got fed really good chow, never had to sleep outside. No one was yelling at me and calling me names every day. But there was definitely a misalignment of mentality. And they actually told me, they said, Sean, not a lot of people that were in the Marine Corps that come to work for the Air Force end up staying here. Right. And I said, no, I'm going to be the exception. No, I was not the exception. The idea of getting it done at all cost, as long as it got done, which is what the Marine Corps gave me, the Air Force doesn't work like that.
No,
they're all about like, if this is too difficult, we should really look at, is it worth doing at all? Right. And that, I can't wrap my head around that from the Marine Corps. That would never be something we'd even consider. Be like, no, you were told to do this. You may die on that hill trying, but you're going to get it done. Well, the Air Force doesn't work like that. So right around the time that I ended up getting married, this was 2013 now, caught you up to about 2013, the government, like they do about this time of year, couldn't figure out their budget.
Right.
And what they do in that case is they said, unless we can figure this out, Congress can figure out what their budget is, we're just going to send all of the government employees home without pay.
Yep.
And that's what happened.
2013.
So I thought I had
consequence too.
Job.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, we can't figure it out, so you pay the consequence as a civilian employee.
Right.
So that's what happened. And that was maybe winter of 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, well, if I'm ever going to try something that has an extremely high likelihood of failure, which is going into business for myself to be a salesperson, every small business owner is a salesperson first and foremost. I said, now's the time. I'm married. I have a mortgage, but I don't have any kids. Like if I screw this up, the quality of life of a bunch of people is not going to be affected. So that was when I decided to do it. And like any small business owner trying to figure it out, I hit every speed bump you could possibly hit along the way. Running out of money. I liquidated my thrift savings plan, like a lot of people getting out of the military are going to do if they're going to go into business for themselves. So I had so much money and expenses that were eating away at it every month. And I had to make some tough choices, which was if I'm going to keep doing this, I really have to get serious about it. Not just network everywhere that I can think of to network, but look at what is working and how do I do more of that instead of just throwing it at the wall and seeing what sticks, which is what the military taught me how to do. So I looked at it and said, all right, well, if I was in the military and I was trying to execute this mission, create a profitable business, what would I begin doing that I'm not doing now? And it was to make a plan, execute it, and most importantly, after I executed it, look at if I had to do it again, what would I do differently? And I began to very quickly realize I was networking in the wrong places. I was talking to the people that couldn't hire me. And I changed as a result of that, just that quick debrief on my own, started targeting those people that could hire me. For me, because speaking is a major part of how I market myself, it was doing more onstage events. So that meant I had to learn how to sell those because nobody knew who I was. I'm not Jocko Willink. You know, I'm not Simon Sinek. So I had to learn how to get on those stages by myself with nobody having ever heard of me. And when I began doing that, that marketing wheel began to really start turning itself, and the gigs to get me into the corporate work that I love doing a lot with brands like John Deere, that began to appear. Wow. That's, you know, kind of how I transitioned from military, university, working for the government, starting my own business, failing at it a lot, and then finally realizing, hey, selling is really where it's at. And those are the people I love working with.
Yeah, so it's interesting you bring that up, you know, because I've talked about this with our cohort, which you've spoken to a number of times, and I love having you every time. You know, one thing that we do really well in the military, with the exception of one thing, is backwards planning. We backwards plan every operation, we back plan everything that we're doing, except for our actual exit strategy out of the military. I don't know about you, but nobody ever talked to me, not even one day, about, hey, whether you're doing 2 years, 4 years, or 20 years, what's your plan when you get out and how do you prepare for that? And I really think that that's so pivotal, what you said about this idea of let's make a plan. Like, what's the actual plan? And I think for many of our tribe, when they get out, whether they're in the Corps or they're in, you know, like they kind of served and we're in the Air Force, they don't actually make a plan. And I see that a lot. Yeah, so it's interesting to hear.
Yeah.
You know, and that you went through that as well. And I find that interesting because here you are as a top performer, as somebody who's made it and making the money that you're making. And your struggle was no different than anybody else's I've talked to.
Yeah. And you know, you and I chatted real briefly, and we have shared this with your cohort a couple of times. Like, what would I do differently? You know, if I had to go back to that, you know, 22-year-old kid back in 2005, who's just getting out of the military, has a little bit of an idea what he wants to do. He's going to cash in that sweet GI Bill money for a while. I was on the Montgomery GI Bill, not that really cool post 9/11 one that everybody listening to this probably has access to.
Right.
But I would look for myself and I'd say, you've got the rest of your life in front of you and you've already accomplished the hardest thing that you're ever going to do.
Yep.
And whether you served in combat or not, you know, maybe you're that, you know, newer generation where, you know, you're really hoping you don't have to serve in combat because it looks like a different warfare today than it did back when I was in.
Right.
So let's say you didn't deploy anywhere. You just spent all your time stateside and had a great time doing it. You have already still gone through the hardest thing that you're ever going to be asked to do professionally.
Yeah.
You've been asked to show up early, stay late, get paid the exact same, if not less. You know, you've had to pay for all your own gear, probably. If you're anything like I was in the Marine Corps, you had to buy all your own stuff. They weren't issuing you nothing that was worth anything.
Yep.
All of this. And plus, you know, you're working these long days for little recognition. You've already done the hardest thing. So
it's so funny that you bring that up. I just had this conversation and here's what I said. And it became controversial. And I don't think it should be controversial because I think like you, which was, I said, if you served and you were honorably discharged, right? Not dishonorable. I don't know why I said it. If you were honorably discharged, You should not settle for less than $30 an hour.
No.
Dude, people got upset with that. And I was like, what are you talking about? We're in the top 1% already. If you think about it, less than 1% serves. And even if you were the cook or you were the, you know, the pack clerk or you were the whatever and you never deployed, you still had to go through boot camp or, you know, basic or whatever the Air Force calls it or the Navy calls it. Those are still like really difficult milestones for the vast majority of the civilian population.
Right. And let me tell you, John, though, the danger that you're going to run into saying this and probably why it was so controversial is that if I show up and I say, you know, I'm a 22-year-old, I'm worth no less than $30 an hour. Well, that sounds pretty entitled.
Yep.
All right. Here's how you get around it. You have to be able to sell it. And this is something I'd say to all the military members listening to this, all the veterans. So you are worth at least $30 an hour. I'll tell you that. But you have to be able to back that up. Because an employer is going to say, why are you worth 30 bucks an hour? I got another 22-year-old with a four-year degree, which we weigh a little more heavily than military service at this company, jacked up as that may be. We look at it. We say, he's got an undergrad. Mm-hmm. You don't. Why are you worth just as much, if not more? Now you have to be able to pull all of those things
out
of
your back. Now you have to articulate.
Now you have to articulate it.
Yeah.
Because at 18, I did something selfless that 22-year-old that you're looking to hire next to me
never did.
Never did.
Yeah.
Never did. I know how to work longer. I know how to work harder. I know how to take direction. I know how to show up on time. I know how to look professional. I know how to speak professionally. I know how to take charge of a situation. I know how to be resourceful. You give me a job and don't provide me the resources, I know how to go find the resources.
That's right.
I know how to find the training, even if you don't provide it to me, because that's how I was trained to be successful in an environment where we were never given everything that we should have been given to become successful.
I love
you be able to articulate that to an employer. Now you're worth $30, if not more.
That's right. And here's the thing. So if you don't already have that in you to be able to express your self-worth, like, why am I worth 30? Then it would absolutely come off as entitled. Yeah. Right. And this is why I love sales and why you probably love sales too, is because we're always looking at how do I get better? How do I make more money? How do I serve my client to give them what they want? Because, and I don't remember, I think it's either Brian Tracy or Zig or whoever it was. It was one of those old school guys that said the way that you really attain to wealth or any of those things is by putting everybody else's needs before yours. If you serve them, that will all come back to you. And if you're 22 and you've served, you shouldn't settle for less than 30, but you've got to be able to do it in a way where you can prove your value and your worth to who you're going to serve, right? And some of that could just be as easy as career selection, right? So if I'm going to be a plumber, an electrician, a wind turbine specialist, any of those kind of careers automatically start you at $30, $35 an hour. Yeah. So don't settle. Like, and as you and I know and why we love sales, nobody can determine how much Sean Rhodes makes this year.
Right.
But Sean.
As
only Sean can make that call, right? And you and I have talked about this before. It's one of the reasons why I love talking with you is when I started out in sales, there were two things that I wanted. I wanted nobody to be able to tell me how much I was worth and nobody to tell me how to spend my time.
Yeah.
If I want to put in a late day, I'm putting in a late day because I've got objectives that I have to meet. And this week, it just takes me longer than normal. But next week, I want to go to the Bahamas and there's nobody going to tell me, nope, you can't take that time off. No,
right.
Sorry, I'm gone. You know, right? Yeah. And so sales really does provide us with both income and freedom if we do it the way, you know, you've done it in your career. So I love that piece, man. I love that we're in that world.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
Now, so you have that consulting business. How do you transition that to now where you're at? I mean, author, speaker, your own company, Bulletproof Selling. You're at all these major companies doing sales operation and sales revenue discussions. How do you go from there to where you're at now? Tell me a little bit about that journey.
A lot of it was to find the people that had already achieved what I was looking to achieve and figure out how do I model success.
Yeah.
And this is just like building a target package in the military, which I never actually did. I was never an intel analyst, but I was part of a bunch of missions where I could tell we weren't walking into this thing blind. Like a lot of people had done a lot of work on this to figure out how to make it happen as efficiently as we did. Because if it was up to Sean, we would just, you know, like load up a bunch of ammo and figure out how much stuff we could shoot. That's a Marines thing. But we did a little smarter than that, even in the core. So it was to look at, all right, if I want this type of business model, then I look at, you know, who are the people that have the type of lifestyle and are doing business with the type of people that I think I would want to model and do business with. And you mentioned a couple names like Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy. All right, so I'm going to go to their websites. I'm going to check out their companies. I'm going to go to their LinkedIn profiles. And I'm going to look at what are all of the assets that, as a visitor, I'm looking at and saying, well, that's impressive. Like that qualifies you to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I couldn't have was decades of experience. Like that was the one thing that they might have marketed, that, you know, we've got decades of experience doing this. I didn't have that. And I can't, you know, invent that unless I get a decade or more of experience. But I look at everything else. Here are all the stages they've spoken on. Here are all the clients that they've had. Here are all the content that they're producing. Something that most veterans don't realize because they're just not in the military. They don't teach anybody but a very small segment of military people how to do is produce online content. But this is something that you're probably doing on Instagram if you've got an Instagram account. You know, God forbid you're on TikTok, but if you are, you know, making videos and you know, all these things every day, well, you can do that in order to market yourself as a civilian. Now, if you're getting out of the military, you have access to all these platforms where no staff NCO is telling you can't write that. It's up to you now. You can produce all these things about the ideas you have about how to grow in an industry or how to grow yourself personally. So I began to look at all that and I said, well, I can do that. I can write. I can produce this content. So I began doing that. And your reach is very small at first, but now your job is to figure out who can you get this content in front of? Who are the people that make the decisions, either in hiring you know, you as a full-time employee or hiring you as a consultant? So I began to reach out and do that in a very systemized way, building sheets, you know, spreadsheets to say, here's all the things that I need in marketing assets. I need to be on a TEDx stage. How do I do it? Submit these things, check that box, done. Now I've been on a TEDx stage. I want all these banners of media organizations that I've been featured in, Time, Wall Street Journal, MSNBC, CNN. How do I do it? Checklist, boom, start executing. Find the people that are, you know, sourcing that content, get in touch with them, make sure they know who I am, get featured, check the box. So I really treated it like that, like a checklist, like you're running in the military. You know, you check into a new unit, they hand you that checklist, and you have to go find all these places. And chances are people are going to misdirect you because they think it's funny to do that to the new guy. Like, so you got to go check in, you know, at SIF and, you know, get all your combat gear. And they'll tell you it's out on the back 40 when really it's just right down the street. But you got to figure that out. There ain't no easy way to do it. But that's what you got to do. So use that same skill set. And you can do this to get yourself hired at any company, get yourself in front of any decision maker. So if you want to get in front of the Fortune, you know, 100 CEO of FedEx, I did it.
Yeah.
Haven't been
in for about 8 months.
Yeah. So it's absolutely possible. You just have to figure out how do you leverage the passion, the dedication, the ambition that the military gave you in order to accomplish a goal. And so something that a lot of people get out and it's a wall that they hit, and I hit it too, was to get out and immediately think, well, now I'm a civilian again. So I've got to act and operate like a civilian. No, you don't.
You don't.
Just like in the military, if some staff NCO walked down and they said, Sean, we need you to accomplish this mission, and that's all the information they gave me, now it's up to me. Especially if you're another NCO, like you're not allowed to ask questions. Just do it.
Yep.
Same thing now that you're out of the military, especially if you're an NCO, which chances most of the people are if you did your four, unless you were in one of those career fields like the infantry where it takes forever to promote. But chances are you're an NCO. Treat yourself like an NCO. You've been given a mission. It's to set yourself up for success for the rest of your life, to find the career field that you're going to be happiest in, that you're going to enjoy getting up every day to go to work in. If you don't mind your income being, you know, limited to 80 grand a year, go find that job. But maybe you think you're worth more. Maybe you think you're worth $500,000 a year. Go find the career fields that will pay you $500,000 a year, either as a captive employee because you're in sales or as an independent business owner, which plenty of us make $500,000 a year or more. Figure that out for yourself and then go execute on it. Use the same skill set the military gave you to not accept no for an answer. But I can't tell you how many times, and I know this happened to you, John, because you were in the Special Forces. You guys were masters of hearing no and still getting the job done. I go and I say, hey, I need a ride. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, many times I had to deal with this in Iraq. I had to get from the south part of the country to the north part of the country. And all I knew was I had to take land because nobody was going to clear me on a helo flight. So I had to take a convoy. Well, how do I find a convoy that's got an extra seat? You just got to show up and start asking.
Just to show
up. Who's got an extra seat? Yeah, I've got a lot of ammo and a rifle. Like, what window do you need covered? Because that's how it happens. And you find yourself going from Nasiriyah all the way up to Baghdad, just like that, by asking until you hear yes. Yep. It's exactly the way it works in the civilian world, if you have the dedication and the passion to not accept no.
Yep. So who are some examples of some people that you kind of modeled yourself after? Like, you know, when you look across the spectrum of, you know, there's Gary Vee, there's Grant Cardone, there's all these like really big shots. Who was it for you that kind of transitioned your thinking from I'm going to be a consultant to now I'm going to run a seven-figure company bulletproof selling? Who was the model of that for you?
In the early days, it was people that were doing the things that I wanted to do. So the people that were speaking on stages, they were consulting companies, they were coaching individuals, and they were writing books, writing articles, and all that. And there's plenty of people that meet that criteria. Yeah. Tony Robbins, Simon Sinek, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar.
You kind of were looking at all of them.
Yeah, looking at all of them. And, you know, again, building a spreadsheet, literally a spreadsheet. Here's all the things they have on their website. How do I go get them?
Yeah, so it wasn't like one individual that you were really narrowed in on. It was more the collective of everybody that was kind of doing those things at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, because okay. I knew it might be too difficult to model what one individual was doing, but if I could get 80% of what all of them were doing, then that was going to get me the credibility that I needed to be able to show up to an organization that had never heard of me before and say, here's why I'm worth listening to, because I've got this stuff behind me.
I love that piece, because the thing about your story that's so crazy good is, who cares who you were?
Yeah.
It was the fact that you showed up at the company and said, here I am, hire me or don't. That's the balls that everybody needs to have, right? Like, you just made it. Like, you just created it out of nothing. I mean, of course you did your homework and you studied the individuals and you kind of came up with a plan. But at the end of the day, that plan would have meant nothing if you hadn't knocked on a door, picked up a phone, like the FedEx, you know, CEO. Like, at the end of the day, the thing that makes you successful is the thing that makes everybody in the military successful too, is, this is what I want to do. How do I get it done? Now I got to go do it.
And you did. I got to go do it. I have to show up and do it, and be willing to fail. The beautiful part about, now that you're a civilian or you're getting ready to be a civilian, if you fail, chances are nobody dies.
Yeah. Yeah, for
that
real.
That was the one thing that kept us from risking a lot. Because, like, if I risk, you know, I'm going to pull the pin on this grenade and I'm going to chuck it in a building in Fallujah, and I better hope and pray that we don't have any friendlies on the other side of that wall. You don't have to worry about those kind of life and death scenarios now. If you fail, it's probably just going to affect you. It might, your bank account might take a hit. Your ego is probably going to get hurt a little. But you pick yourself up and you keep going. If you've never been chewed out by a staff NCO, then maybe you missed this military experience that I did. But I had my ego just pounded on every day. Every time I tried to get a little above my station, there was a lot of staff NCOs that put me back where I needed to be, and some officers along the way too. So I've taken some ego hits. If I walk into an organization now and they tell me no, or I've been yelled at on the phone, I mean, same as you, John, you know, everybody's given me, you know, their bad day, and I'm the guy that shows up to receive it sometimes. I've been yelled at worse. I've been kicked out of nicer buildings than this. I've had people I respect more than you tell me I was worthless.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Do your work.
We all have the military. So don't be afraid of hearing that in the civilian world. You'll hear it eventually. But you've dealt with worse. You've overcome harder. Yeah.
There's this meme. I love it. I'll send it to you when we're done. It's Skeletor from when we were kids, right? And he's you're trying to hurt my feelings? The army destroyed my feelings long ago, and then he's running away.
Right? Do your worst, man.
Do your worst. Yeah. So kind of as we wrap up here, because I know you've got other things to do today, whether they're somebody that's just done the 4-year stint or they're at their 20-year mark and they're looking at transition, right? They're getting ready to get out of the military. With your experience of going college and then doing the 9-to-5 and then becoming an entrepreneur and failing and then starting a 7-figure company, right? What are some of the top things that you would recommend to somebody that, whether they pick sales or not, what are the top 2 or 3 things that they should be looking at doing or that should be on their horizon looking at doing as they're getting ready for that transition?
So I'd say you have the ability now to begin writing your own story. You're getting out of the military. You've been given an incredible skill set. Maybe you've got a little disability money coming in from stuff you went through, or maybe you've got a retirement check coming in. You got your healthcare handled for a while. You have a window of opportunity that a lot of people don't get until they retire at 65 or 70 and decide they want to start a second or third career. So now you can start a second career and you still have most of your years ahead of you. Even if you did your 20, you know, you're 38 now. You're still pretty young in the workforce.
Really young.
So what can you do with yourself now? So to avoid some of the mistakes I did that I had to learn the hard way because I believed I needed to put myself back in a more traditional career path, I take a look at what are the things that I love doing that if somebody was willing to cut me a check to just goof off, what does it look like for me to goof off every day and still do some kind of activity?
Yeah.
And it may be to talk to people. It may be to mentor others because maybe as an NCO, you love mentoring the junior troops. Maybe you love a certain thing that you did in the military. Like if all you could do is just train firearms all day and somebody just gave you boxes of ammo and they kept you fed, you'd be happy just putting rounds downrange, even if you weren't shooting at people. Maybe that's your thing. Whatever that is, realize that you can make a career path out of it now.
Yeah.
And you can find the funding to do it. There's plenty of programs that will pay for you to be trained in that, to create a business model out of it, or to find another company that has that as a business model that you could be an employee of. But don't cut yourself short and think, well, now I've got to go suffer the 9 to 5. I've got to go, you know, punch a keyboard for, you know, 40 hours a week because that's what people do when they get out of the military. That's what professionals do. That's what white collar folks do, whatever that is. It doesn't have to be you.
Yep.
Pick something that you think you'll be passionate about, that you'll have fun with, because you put in your hard time, man. You gave back to your country. I don't want to say that you've earned the next, you know, 80 years of your life back, but you kind of have. You've done more than most. You can still be a productive member of society, but you don't have to suffer anymore. Like your suffering checkbox in your life, it's been checked, especially if you're in the Marine Corps. That's done. Now, what can you do to make the rest of your life enjoyable, easy, give back to your community, you know, live the rest of that life that you really had to put on hold for a while?
Sure.
Now is your time, man. Seize it.
That's great, man. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way? What's your website? And then talk a little bit about your book as we wrap up, just so we can do a shameless plug for you.
Shameless plug. Yeah, so absolutely connect with me on LinkedIn. John and I are connected, so start using LinkedIn. It's the professional network that you can begin to leverage.
Absolutely.
As a veteran hearing this, or if you're in the military and you're hearing this, you have an open line of communication to me. It's not hard to find my phone number, so feel free to shoot me a text, pick up, make a call, shoot me a message on LinkedIn. For my website, if you're interested in finding out, like, what does it look like for a crayon-eating Marine to go and, you know, create something that sells sales training, bulletproofselling.us. That's where you can find my website and a lot about me. And then plenty of videos out there on YouTube and LinkedIn about all the cool stuff I get to do now. And I thought to myself, the same advice that you gave me, John, or that, you know, that I just gave you, pardon. You know, what is my idea of a great life look like? It's having these types of conversations every day and figuring out a way to get paid for it. So that's what I do. I'm logging off here and I'm going to go have a conversation with somebody that serves people, because I love having those conversations with other humans. Figure out a way to get paid for it.
Great. Man, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to have you back. There's so much more to dig into your story and your success and how that can translate for everybody else. So just thanks for who you are, because I can just tell you, I look forward to when you send me these random texts, and you've just been such a great support to both Sales Platoon and myself personally. Look forward to seeing you here coming up in Vegas.
Got it, Sean. I'll see you soon, John, man. Have a great
week. Bye.
Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Sales Platoon for more updates and veteran success stories. Join us next time as we continue to decode the art of selling through the unique perspectives of those who've served.